Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Meeting Pros.
Welcome to Meeting Pros. I'm the host, Michael Lauer. We've got a very, very special guest today. We have Kelly Wetzel from Meeting Demands. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I'm sure we're going to learn a whole lot about your company and some events that you're planning as well. So tell me a little bit about Meeting Demands and how you guys got started as a company.
Sure. Meeting Demands is 11 years old, I'm very proud to say. And we were established in 2002.
And you're the owner, correct?
I am the owner,
yes. So you got this thing going, and you've had it going for about 11 years.
I have,
That's yes. impressive.
It's very exciting, and I grew from a one-person operation and slowly have added some staff on, and it's been exciting to see it develop. And we basically serve the business-to-business and business-to-consumer event markets.
Okay, and so tell me a little bit about your process and what differentiates you from other meeting and development companies.
What I think is nice is that being more of a boutique size operation allows us to spend a little bit more time with our customers, spend a little bit more time getting to know the nuances and the details of their audience, their company, their culture. And sometimes in your bigger organizations, they don't have as much of that time. But for us,
right.
It is something that our customers have really come to appreciate.
So you're not just cranking them out. You're taking the time to make sure that whatever you do for them kind of tailors to them and actually benefits them as opposed to just putting them through a cycle, right?
Yes, we really look at our portfolio of business. And I don't believe in taking a piece of business just to take it. I really feel like we need to look at schedules and how the customer fits with us, and we really try to look at all of those aspects so that we have some good balance and we can give our customers enough of our attention.
So you kind of select your clients a little bit to make sure that you can serve them the best way possible, right?
Yes, and that can be hard because certainly the more money that you're able to bring in for your business, the better. But for us, it's about the experience for our customers as well.
Now, did you start just by making your own company, or did you have a past life before that?
Yes. I actually used to work for a company called Penton Media, and Meeting Demands actually was born of a layoff after 9/11
okay.
with the industry going the way that it did. Penton needed to let me go. And at the same time, they still needed some services, and so they ended up being my very first client to get me started.
That's cool. I mean, that's a happy win for people, right?
It is.
Let you go,
but
they were still able to
happen that way for sure.
Right, right. Well, that so are they still a client?
They are still a client. Yes.
So that speaks to some client retention
and very supportive.
Right. That speaks to some client retention for you.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your upcoming event. It's the Content Marketing World and the Client Content Marketing Institute.
Well, I'm really excited about this event. It is one of the most fun, dynamic events that are out there. Content Marketing Institute basically advances the practice of content marketing. And content marketing, for people that don't know, is basically about communicating with your customers and prospects without selling. So instead of pitching a product or service, you're delivering information to make the buyer more informed. So it's a really interesting concept, and this is our fourth year, and we're holding the event in Cleveland, and the audience is about 2,500 people representing 50 countries.
Wow, that's a big number.
It is a big number. So the days are busy right now.
Does that kind of make your job more challenging when you have more people? I'm sure it makes it more fun as well, but what are some challenges that go with planning for that scale of an event?
Sure. Well, for example, when you have a smaller program, your ability to interact individually with the attendees and provide some more, I guess, intimate access is easier than when the group grows. So, for example,
right. You
know, in our first event, we were able to use acute trolley service to transfer everybody to some of the different evening functions. But when you start to talk about 2,500 people, there's no way trolley systems are going to work anymore. You're going to need to look at motor coaches and
right. Things
of that nature.
So as far as from an event interaction standpoint, how do you keep them interacting with each other on a personal level at the event as well? I mean, at some point, they just become faces in a crowd.
Sure. Well, what is really great about this particular audience is everyone is very, very involved in social media. And so we have a mobile app that we have developed that people end up registering for, even if they're not at the event, just because of the community that we create. And because they're all so engaged in social media, they really take the time at the event and after the event to stay in touch and to share information. It's really a great group in terms of how much they're willing to share about their business and their practices and ideas and, you know, helping their colleagues essentially learn from that.
So how do you create this online social ecosystem? Do you use Twitter? What are some ways that you do that?
Content Marketing Institute is, I guess, the organization for this. The concept of content marketing was basically founded by Joe Pulizzi, who is the owner of Content Marketing Institute. And their ability to connect with their customers through Twitter and Instagram and Vimeo and YouTube and Facebook, it's absolutely amazing how dynamic their outreach is in terms of delivering content, whether it's original content research or curated content, and delivering messages almost daily of value to the people that are interested in their industry. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like a great way to kind of start doing a mental shift and doing business. Are there some key thought leaders that you're going to have speaking at these events?
Yes, we're really excited. There are some really great brands that are going to be represented and speaking at the event. We have Microsoft, Facebook, Kraft. Then you have companies like Cisco and GE. And then we have some of the thought leaders like Jay Baer, Marcus Sheridan, and Michael Brenner. You know, those are some of the people that would be known right off of the bat in our industry.
So you've got some great speakers happening, but I would think that, you know, this is the fourth year you're doing it, right?
It is, yes.
So how much of a challenge is it, and how do you meet that challenge to keep it fresh? What are some ways that you keep changing and upping the ante for the people that are attending?
Well, we take the evaluation process of our events very seriously. So at the end of each year, we put together all of the attendees' feedback and get together with our whole team to find out what worked, what didn't work. And we really strive to introduce sort of a new component to the event each year.
Okay.
So last year, we introduced the concept of lunch and learns, where people would pick up a lunch and they'd go to learn about a particular topic as opposed to just going and sitting in a banquet hall.
Right.
This year, we've really created a dynamic exhibit hall that includes a blogger lounge, it includes an innovation center, and it includes a meetup area so that all of the people that are connected through social media will have a place that they can go to connect with each other at the event.
So you're focusing this all around communication and just keeping people connected with each other.
Well, what is amazing is this event really is marketed online.
Right.
And everything that we do is through the channels that they have. And so when you think about the fact that they're able to get 2,500 people from so many different countries and, you know, they don't really use some of the traditional methods to reach their audience. So it's really just dynamic and interactive.
So in addition to speakers and restructuring the event in a new way, what are some kind of entertainment? And you mentioned, you know, learning luncheons. What are some other features that you're planning for this event that differ from the past?
Well, the other thing that we like to do is really we like to show everyone a good time. And so in addition to the great content that they get during the day, we make sure that in the evening they have great networking opportunities and really just a chance to hang out and get to know Cleveland. So our opening night reception is actually going to be held in Ohio City, which is a cute little neighborhood right off of Cleveland, and we're doing a Taste of Cleveland pub crawl.
And oh, that's
so
cool.
You know, we've got a great brewing experience here in Cleveland, and so we're going to take them there and allow them to network and get to know the city a little bit. And then on our second night, we're doing an event called Content Fest, and we are basically have an outdoor pavilion, and we're featuring a DJ and a local band and a larger national act. And then we're bringing in all sorts of gourmet local food trucks to do all of the food and beverage for the event. So really just a true Cleveland experience.
That's awesome. That's got to be a huge added value, too. I mean, people want to learn about their craft, but they also want to connect with something more, right?
Yes. I mean, when you put them through such a long day of learning and intense training, it's really nice when they can just say, okay, now let's get to know each other a little better. And they're really a great group of mixing among, you know, each other, not really getting into cliquish kinds of groups.
Right.
They're they just have a lot of fun.
Well, it's not just fluff and fun, too. I mean, it's definitely strategic, right?
Yes, very much so. Cleveland is the home of Content Marketing Institute. And so, you know, a lot of people will say, well, why Cleveland? And really for Content Marketing Institute, it's about supporting our local businesses and showcasing the city of Cleveland. And for us, you know, last year, for example, about 75% of our attendees had never been to Cleveland.
Wow.
And so to get them here and help them not only experience the great content, but to really understand what Cleveland is about is really rewarding.
That's exciting. I mean, that makes me want to attend.
Come join us.
Yes.
It's a great time.
Come one, come all. So it sounds like to me that it's really important for you to maintain a relationship with your clients too, right? It's not just a transactional kind of thing. It's a constant communication and collaboration with your clients. I think that's why you're keeping them so long too. Why don't you speak to that a little bit?
What is really nice is the probably 90 to 95% of my business has all been referrals.
Wow.
And that really makes me feel proud because I know, as I said at the beginning of the program, we really try to learn the nuances and get to know the attendees. And I think that our customers feel that difference. And I'm the kind of meeting planner that when the event is taking place, I don't want to be in the office. I want to be among the attendees. I want to be visiting. I want to see their reactions. And I take all of that very personally. I'm the first one reading evaluations the minute an event
right.
is over because I strive to help make it better.
How easy.
So I've been really lucky.
Right, right. But how easy is it for you to fall, or for a meeting planner in general, to fall into the trap of using the flashy new toy as opposed to keeping it strategic, which is kind of what I feel like you're kind of pivoting around, is keeping things strategic?
Sure. It definitely, there is a certain amount of pressure to use the most current flashy technology or toy. But I think it's important to know your audience.
Okay.
And, you know, for a lot of companies and their programs, they want to take baby steps. You know, they're not ready to completely commit to a mobile app, so they want to do some printed materials to help their attendees get there. Whereas a company like Content Marketing Institute, they are ready. Let's use the latest technology. Let's try it on this group. Because their group is at the forefront of trying new things. They don't hesitate when a new product comes out to do that. So I would say it's really about knowing my audience and how to guide them in terms of what their steps should be.
Sure, but I'm sure it's pretty common that maybe a client wants to use a new flashy toy at their event, but you don't think it really works for them. How do you talk them off the ledge? And at what point do you say, okay, how do I make this work?
Well, I think the important thing is to listen to the client. And the important thing is to outline the pros and cons of whatever technology or product they might be looking to use. And I think you need to have a good enough relationship with your client that you can say, I understand that you want to use this, but here are the reasons why this isn't the best idea for you right now. And you have some of those conversations, and as you mentioned, sometimes your customer is just set on trying something out, and then it really is about getting on board with their vision and doing everything you can to implement that technology so there are more pros than cons.
And I would think that this kind of doesn't just translate into the new flashy toy, but maybe a speaker that they want to have there or a new thought leader. How do you go around and vet them to make sure that they're the right people to have at your event? I mean, that's got to be a process too, right?
It is. And, one of the things that we look for and look to have is, a celebrity type speaker, someone who has name recognition. And for my clients, when they're looking to hire a celebrity, I really feel like we need to look at the connection. You know, don't just hire a big name to hire a big name. How are they involved in your industry or in the content that you're presenting? Do they have a vested interest? And then beyond that, just really understanding what your budget is. Talent really can vary depending on, the name recognition. And so it's really important to vet the reasons for moving in that direction, as well as just the overall benefit to your audience. And the other thing that's big with celebrity speakers is understanding their schedule. If you're looking at an actor or entertainer who is current and might be in a TV series, the chances of you being able to book them during the season becomes slim to none.
Yeah, unless you're going to pay them a
lot,
right? Well, and if you do try and get them, the cost is going to go up on that too, right?
Significantly.
So this is a huge balancing and juggling act as well.
It is. It definitely is. We've been lucky to find individuals that really connect with the content that we're presenting and have a vested interest and understanding of content marketing. And so it's really been exciting and advantageous for us.
It sounds like when you plan an event, there's a lot of moving parts to it, right? And a lot of things to keep track of. How do you manage that? I mean, I would be dead.
Sure. Well, with an event of this size, the important thing is to have an amazing team. And I, on our team, we have someone who helps to manage speaker development and the content that's going to be presented at the event. We have someone that helps with the sponsors and making sure that their branding is where it needs to be and they get all of their benefits. And then, in terms of our on-site team, I bring 21 people, 21 is the number this year, on-site to physically help operate the event. And so I feel like when you surround yourself with a great team and people that can operate the event so seamlessly, it really takes a level of stress off. And I really am surrounded by amazing, talented people.
So that trust kind of goes a little deeper too. I mean, the client has to trust you, but you got to trust your team to pull it off.
It's true. And anyone that knows me knows that I'm a little bit neurotic and way hands-on. And so it takes me a little while to fully commit to turning something over. And they've all gotten used to that. So sometimes I can't help it. I jump back into Kelly mode and I micromanage a little bit.
Kelly 1.0?
And I remember they're very good at what they do until
right.
I let it go.
So you kind of mentioned that you're a boutique, but you said you bring 21 employees. So you must have more than that.
The 21 employees that we bring are independent contractors. So
okay. They
are professional event operations staff. And many of them I have been working with for 6 or 7 years, and they come with me certain members of the team have been with me on almost all of the events that I plan because they are so good at what they do. And so that's the advantageous thing in being in my shoes is I can expand where I need to and contract where I need to when you have those kinds of team members that you can get access to.
That's incredible that you've been using the same people for that long. And it speaks to your methodology and how well you manage relationships.
Well, it's very important to me. The relationships that I build with my clients, my loyalty, their loyalty, and our commitment to the product that we're putting out, I just think, you know, events are a relationship business. And I believe that, you know, as much as technology can help us and keep us connected, there's nothing like being at an in-person event and the energy that you can feed off of each other. And so it's so important to me to give my customers a great experience and to be in it with them for the long haul and not just a one-off program.
Well, you get personally invested.
I do.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that's
very much so.
The client, I would think, would want that too, right? I mean, that's something they would look for, correct?
Yes, I think they have. I definitely think they have an appreciation for it. And I can tell even from the attendee perspective. I've had attendees from time to time reach out to me to, you know, thank me. For example, dietary restrictions are a really big thing.
Right.
And sometimes those aren't really adequately addressed. And so at our events, we really look at, you know, what the concerns are of our attendees and making sure that someone that has a special dietary restriction does have something to eat at breakfast and lunch and doesn't go hungry. And so that is very much appreciated. And then even for content marketing world, the signature color is orange. And so we do a completely orange food station. Everything from beverages through all of the food, everything is orange. And so your attendees
cool.
notice those kinds of things.
Right. So let's get back to Content Marketing World as an event. This is the fourth year you've done it. And you mentioned that you're set to have 2,500, is that correct?
Correct.
So this number is growing from the past years, correct?
It is. Our very first year in 2011, we started with 600 people.
Wow.
And it's almost doubled each year that we have been involved. And so it really keeps things interesting in, you know, booking your business for the next year. So we're already doing all of our contracts for 2015. And, you know, it provides a certain level of stress because you want to manage your growth. You wanted to manage the expectation of your vendors and your suppliers. And so it's really important that you have, for example, hotel partners who are willing to look at your contracts with you, decide what makes sense in terms of where your room block is going to grow, but then also be willing to review that block with you, you know, at some point before your event to decide, okay, you know, do we have enough? Do we have too many? And doing the room block review kind of thing. So I've been really lucky in that our conference partners have been fantastic in also just, in our case, embracing the growth and finding more sleeping rooms to give us because we've sold out of our blocks and making sure we have enough meeting space. And, you know, sometimes you want to set a room classroom style and you just have to go to theater style because a lot of people want in.
Right. Well, it sounds like these are good problems to have, right?
Very good problems to have.
So what's on the horizon for meeting demands and for the Content Marketing Institute in the next couple of years?
Well, I continue, you know, to have my at meeting demands, my great customers that have continued on with me for so many years. We've planned our 2015 calendar, and shortly we'll begin looking at 2016. And with Content Marketing Institute and Content Marketing World, we are just going to continue our growth and continue building the excitement in the industry and the passion for the content. And I anticipate that event will be around for many years, and we will continue to keep it fresh and interesting.
Well, that's just awesome stuff. Where can people go to learn more about meeting demands, about your company to hire you, and also learn more about Content Marketing World and how to attend and get in touch with the Content Marketing Institute?
Sure. The best way to reach me at Meeting Demands is through my website, which is meetingdemands.net. I am also on Twitter, and my handle is Meeting Demands. And in terms of the event, people can visit contentmarketingworld.com, and there is a wealth of information about the event and also links to Content Marketing Institute for people that want to know more about the art of content marketing.
And Content Marketing World is happening, the next one's happening in?
September 8th through the 11th this year.
Is it too late to sign up?
It is not too late to sign up. We do have spots still available, and I would encourage anybody that is interested in this topic to join us. We really cover many, many industries, and I think that there really is something for everyone.
Well, Kelly, we'll have to follow up with you after September and kind of see how the event went and how things are going to change for the next year.
I will look forward to that.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today on Meeting Pros. I'm Michael Lauer. Thank you, Kelly Wetzel, for coming in.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks.